Great challenge for us today is to open God's Word and see what God has to say about what it means to be on mission with God, on mission with God. I've chosen an Old Testament passage, actually a psalm. We call it the Missionary Psalm, Psalm 67. I've had preachers you've heard preachers before. I've had preachers say if it's on page 532 in your right kind of Bible, you can turn to that. That's page 532 on my King James Version, which I use by preference. Psalm 67. Hear the word of the Lord. Seven verses where we see God unveiling His love for the nations, His love for those who are from every tribe, tongue, and people group here on this globe. Hear the word of the Lord. Verse 1. God be merciful unto us and bless us and cause His face to shine upon us, that Thy way may be known upon earth, Thy saving health, or literally Thy salvation among all nations. Let the people praise Thee, O God. Let all the people praise Thee. O let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for Thou shalt judge the people righteously and govern the nations upon earth. Let the people praise Thee, O God. Let all the people praise Thee. Then shall the earth yield her increase, and God, even our own God, shall bless us. God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear Him. Now may God do what only God can do this morning, and that is bless the public reading of His holy word to our hearts and our minds. Well, we see this psalm, which is really a song that was put to music by those Old Testament believers. Aren't you thankful that we have a choir? Brother Mike leading the choir leads us to the throne every week with scriptural songs. We're thankful for that because that's a very important part of worship for Christ's church. Here were the Old Testament believers, and they used to sing these psalms as their songs, but these psalms were inspired, and they were full of some very good theology and some very good missionology. And so this morning, I want to share briefly three things that just flow out of this psalm. And again, our emphasis is on the Great Commission. We're in our month-long or five-week missions emphasis. And so we are focusing as a church, a New Testament church, on what it means to be on mission with God. I want to tell you that God is a missionary God. The Bible is a missionary book. Christ Church is a missionary arm. Ridgeway Baptist Church has a missionary pastor. And you and I as members are missionary people. Now it's all downhill from there, isn't it? Three things I want to share with you from this text. First of all, are you ready? God's heart is upon the nations. God's heart is upon the nations. Look at verse 1. The Bible says, God be merciful unto us and bless us and cause His face to shine upon us, that Thy way, that's God's way, the gospel way, may be known upon earth, Thy salvation among all nations. In my study, when I walk out of my study every morning, there's a picture that Ginger bought for me that we have on the wall, and it's a wonderful picture. It has John 3:16 written on it. She wanted me to bring it today, but I was not going to do that because the picture's bigger than me, and I would probably break it, and it's too valuable to me. But it says has John 3:16 written on there and in print, and it's a big heart, a huge heart, representing the heart of God, and there's a globe that is right in the middle of the heart. That overscribes, it superscribes, it underscribes. It's a picture that reminds me every day that God's heart is upon all the nations on this globe. In verse 1, He says, God be merciful unto us. I want you to know that it was only God's mercy in the gospel of Jesus Christ that came from heaven's glory and took our spiritual poverty in the person and work of Jesus Christ, who is the ultimate manifestation of mercy. There is no mercy apart from the gospel of Jesus Christ. There is no one on this earth who can come to God unless they come the way of the cross and the way of Jesus Christ. God's heart is upon the nations, but it must start with His mercy that He has demonstrated to us. We see this word bless us and blessing throughout the New Testament and Old Testament and this psalm. Blessing here simply means God's favor upon His people. God's favor upon His people. So really what the psalmist is saying is, God, first be merciful unto us. And here's the Hebrew audience, the Jewish audience there who is singing out this as part of their worship. But very quickly they go from looking inwardly to the nation of Israel to looking outwardly to all the people groups on this earth. But you see, it could never happen unless God revealed His heart to those who live on this earth. You may ask the question, preacher, why would God send missionaries or send the gospel to some of the cannibal, tribal, most wicked, reprobate people groups on this globe? I tell you why. It's because God's heart and love is upon everyone the same way. He is no respecter of persons. He shows no partiality. God is God and you and I are not. And so what we need to pray for today as a church, that we would be a missions-minded and missions-hearted church that would understand the psalmist throbbing here as he proclaims in song this truth. God, be merciful to us and bless us, show us favor, and cause Your face to shine upon us. Actually, this comes from the doxology in Numbers 6, verse 24, where there Aaron and Moses were in the Old Testament there with the wandering people of God that the pastor preached on the last 2 weeks, who were rebellious and wandering. And yet in the midst of their wandering and rebellion, God's mercy never stopped. He overlooked their temporary sinfulness. Oh, they would have temporal judgment. There would be a payday one day. But He still loved them and His mercy was upon them. I want to tell you that God never gave up on the Israelites. And He will never give up on those people in the most dark places of this world, because His heart is upon the nations. Verse 2. What is the purpose of this mercy and this blessing that comes from God's heart upon the nation? I tell you, it's very clear. That the people of the world would know the way of Christ. You see that word, thy way, there? Really, that means the path, the direction. Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come to the Father except by Me. I tell you, when we talk about God's heart upon all people groups, there's a missionary that comes to mind. His name was David Livingstone. He's one of my favorites. There's about three or four missionaries in the last 200 years that have written journals that I study often and refresh myself, because I want to see how those that have gone before us as missionaries and evangelists and ministers of the gospel, how they have come to have such a heart for the nations. David Livingstone was born in Blantyre, Scotland, and he was called to missions, and he was about to go to China, and God providentially stopped him because of the opium traffic there. And he heard a man named Robert Moffat, who later became his father-in-law as he married his daughter Mary. And he heard of Robert Moffat's testimony of his work in southern Africa. And Robert Moffat said something that David Livingstone never forgot. Dr. Moffat said, when I got up every morning in southern Africa and I looked to the north, there were at least 1,000 villages where I saw smoke rising who had never heard of the gospel of Jesus Christ. David Livingstone was so encapsulated by that. He saw for the first time those who were in places around the world who had never heard the gospel even one time, that he surrendered to that mission vocation, and he went and he spent his life laboring from the Cape Town area in South Africa all the way to Botswana, now known as Zambia, Zimbabwe, and then there at Lake Malawi. And he had spent years working as a medical doctor, but learning the languages and the people, the tribal folks, came to know that God loved them because they could see the love of this medical doctor who was there investing his life and his family's life for the gospel, for them to be saved. So what happened at the end is an amazing tribute. One day, David Livingstone was about to die from some serious illnesses. And he was there in a hut that they had built for him in his last hours. And the tribal folks who had come to love him because they saw his love for them and the gospel, they would come in and look at him, and one person came and said, well, he's kneeling down, and an hour later he's kneeling down, and they would look at him, and finally they said, he's been kneeling at his bed for 8 hours now. We need to go check on him. And they went in and they pulled out the candle, and he had been dead for several hours. His last time on earth was spent praying for those nationals, those natives, that he gave up everything to go and share the living gospel of Jesus Christ. I tell you, only the heart of God in a missionary, only the heart of God in a church can stir us to that point when we see those for whom Christ died. Knowing the atonement of Christ is sufficient for all, but it's sufficient only for those who come to repentance and faith in Christ. And David Livingstone died. And here's the tribute. These people loved him so much that they walked 1,500 miles to the Atlantic Ocean from the tribal jungles, carrying his body. 10 people died on that journey, just on the tough terrain, so that his body and remains could be taken back to there in Britain. And one thing that he left behind, though, was something he asked for the people to do. He said, when I die, I want you, after I die, to take my heart. And I want you to take my heart and I want you to bury it here in this village, because I have given my life and Jesus Christ died for you, and I want to die here and I want my heart to be buried among this people. He had a heart for the nation, and so his heart was taken out. His remains were taken, and he is buried today in Westminster Abbey there. And he was one of the few who wasn't a military or a national or a politician. I tell you, this man had the heart of God. May God raise up churches and people today that have a heart for those who are the nation, the nations who don't have Christ, that thy way may be known upon the earth. Listen, the only way that they are going to be saved is if we take the gospel to them. And may we be more creative, more strategic, maybe work like it all depends on us, but pray like it all depends on God. And may we take this gospel, for God's heart is upon the nation. Secondly, not only is God's heart upon the nations, but we see beginning in verse 4, we see that God's hand is upon the nations. Notice in verse 4, the scripture says, oh, let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you shall judge the people righteously and govern the nations upon the earth. Verse 3 is an interlude, or really a transition between these two thoughts of God's heart upon the nation and God's hand upon the nation. Verse 3 says, let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. Do you see how these Hebrew, these Old Testament believers, how they were not inward, but they were outward in their perspective? Now, there were many in Judaism that lost this perspective. And we go back to Abraham and his promise from God. God said to Abraham, he said, through you all the nations of the world will be blessed, or through your seed. He was saying that through Jesus Christ in the flesh, who would come from Abraham's line, that all the nations of the world will be blessed. And that was a picture, as Galatians says, of the gospel being preached then in Abraham's time to all the nations, that even the heathen would be justified by faith. But I want to tell you, during the Exodus time and during the wandering, it was God's will for the Israelites to be a kingdom of priests, Exodus says, to those who were in the outside. A priest's responsibility is to represent the people before God. And they were to go out and not be paganized by false idols, but be evangelizing those who needed to hear of the God of the Bible and of the coming of the Messiah. God's hand is upon the nations. How can the nations be glad? How can they sing for joy? Well, it's only going to happen when, first of all, they receive the mercy of the Lord, and then they receive the knowledge of the Lord. And then they will naturally praise the Lord. Oh, let the nations be glad and sing for joy. In the last 9 years, I've had the privilege of now going to 46 countries and preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ and teaching national pastors. In every country that I go to, and we go for obviously short periods of time, when we leave, there's a clear demonstration to us of how the gospel of Jesus Christ is truly the power of God unto salvation. How the gospel rules and reigns. Now, this psalm here, this missionary psalm, some have interpreted, and there are many truths about this interpretation, that this is really pointing to the millennium. And we must not disregard that, because this really has pictures of the future. And when the earth will increase, and literally Jesus Christ will come back and he will reign for 1,000 years on this new earth that doesn't have the curse. And so that's something that's going to happen in the future. And there will be no curse removed from this world and the depravity of sin until that time comes. But listen, what is the charge for us as a church of the Lord Jesus Christ in the meantime? We are to literally, with the Great Commission, go out and acknowledge and proclaim that not only is God's heart upon the nations, but God's hand is upon the nations, and that these governments will come and go. There will be rulers and world powers that come on the scene and then they drop off. But Jesus Christ is the ultimate ruler of this world. And one day, during the millennial period, in fact, everyone from the nations who are still here, redeemed, they will praise God, and they will be under the theocracy or theocratic rule of Jesus Christ. But I tell you, in the interim time, in this season of grace, in this church age, I want to tell you that the power of the gospel through our obedience to the Great Commission is able to bring the nations to be glad. It's able to bring those to shout for joy as they gladly submit to the reign of Jesus Christ, who is the governor and the King of Kings of all creation. I think of another missionary, David Brainerd, one of my favorites, who was a North American missionary in the 18th century. Jonathan Edwards wrote much about this young man. And David Brainerd only lived to be 30 years old. For those of you here today who are in your 20s, don't think that you have several decades left in your life. God's not guaranteeing you another day. If you're 60 years old today or 70 years old today, you've lived 70. Don't think that God guarantees you another day. So the message today is like David Brainerd proclaimed as a young man who died at 30 with tuberculosis. God called him to reach the native Indians, the national Indians there in the Pennsylvania and Delaware area. And he went forth, and with great conflict, and he had great sickness. He was a very frail individual. He struggled for years without one convert. And then, as he was preaching through John chapter 6 and John chapter 7 for many weeks in a row in different tribal villages, his journal says that one day it was as if the bliss of heaven had come. For all his years of service and preaching the gospel to these native Indians, that one day he went into the village and there were 10s and 20s and 30s of these Indians who before had their spears in their hands and who had tried to kill him. They were waiting for him to come to preach the gospel to them in their Indian tongue. And Brainerd said it was like a glorious day where heaven came down and there was a great singing in this native tongue. And there was a great exhilaration and there was a great joy because these people had come to know that God's heart was upon them in the gospel, and that also God's hand was upon them in his providence as he moved them to that time where they could hear the gospel and respond in repentance and faith. I tell you, not everybody that hears us preach or teach will respond and be glad and joy in the Lord. But I tell you this, the Bible says when the Holy Spirit takes the gospel of Lord Jesus Christ and there's a deep permeating work in our soul, that there should be a joy, there should be a gratitude, there should be an exhilaration that this is not all. There is life beyond the grave, eternal life, but there is abundant life today in walking with the governor, the King of Kings, the Lord Jesus Christ. Let the nations be glad. But the nations will be sad if we don't go and tell them. And who will be responsible if Christ's church does not go? It will be on our hands. I tell you, we will be responsible, for every generation must receive this gospel witness through the Great Commission arm and efforts of Christ's church. Let the nations be glad, for thou shalt judge the people righteously and govern the nations. Oh, I look forward to the millennial period, don't you? Pastor, this earth's going to be a lot different. Brother Mike, I think they'll be singing during that time too. And by the way, if you have trouble singing here, you're going to be in for it in heaven, because we're going to be singing a lot. Now, when Pastor and I, Ashley and I, when we give up the ghost here, our preaching assignment is over. But I tell you, the singing assignment will just begin. But how are we going to have joy in heaven if we haven't first experienced joy of the gospel here on earth? And these Israelites, they didn't just look inward, but they were looking outward. This God-centered psalm, the missionary psalm, they were looking out past the commonwealth of Israel and looking out to the time when Gentiles would be brought into Christ's church. And yes, believing Jews would come also, where there would be that time, which we're in now, where we have the Great Commission and we have the privilege of reaching the nations. So, first of all, God's heart is upon the nations. We see it flow out of this text. Secondly, God's hand is upon the nations, His rule and reign. And the Bible says in verse 4, He judges righteously. You know, everything God does is righteous. The cross is righteous. It's where righteousness kissed mercy. It's at the cross that God could pour His wrath, which is upon your sin and mine, and He could take away the sin, and He could give us His righteousness, and we could forever be glorified in Christ Jesus, because He alone is glory. Oh, friends, we have that to look forward to, and we have this time that's coming. But for now, what are we doing? You say, again, I don't know why missionaries should go all around the world. To some of these people, they're so wicked, they're so wretched, they're worshiping false gods. I mean, can't I just be focused on our country and our people groups? No, I want to tell you that there's only one type of Bible Christian, and that's a world Christian. Not one that lives worldly lives, but who has his heart on the world like Jesus Christ does. And I'm thankful to be a part of a church that has such a legacy in missions giving and missions intercession and in missions going. And God has called vocational missionaries out of this church that have been in the field and are now. And we're thankful for all of that. But I tell you, we need to pray. We need to pray that the best is yet to come. We need to pray that today God would even call souls in their pews to full-time missions in this congregation today. Part of my invitation will be calling you, if God is working in your heart and you want to talk more about it, about surrendering to missions, we're going to ask you to come today for counsel. We're believing and praying that God is going to use all of us. Most of us are not called to special vocational ministry, but where God has us or has you, you are to be His missionary. And you may not be able to go on a short-term trip, but you can sure get in the prayer closet and pray for these nations of the world. You may not be able to give much money to the missions offering, but you may be able to have some service here. And by the way, the nations includes the United States of America. And God has brought the world to us, so it's not just so much about going on a plane to Africa or Quito or other places, which we will continue to do. But I tell you, here in this city, there are people from many different people groups who are literally dying without the gospel of Jesus Christ. We have the opportunity. We have the opportunity to reach out to them. And then lastly, as we conclude in this text, we see not only that God's heart is upon the nations, that God's hand is upon the nations, but listen, God's harvest is within the nations. God's harvest is within the nations. Now, the Bible says that there will be an increase from the earth. And God, even our own God, shall bless us. Do you notice all the times the people praise and there's blessing? You know, praise and blessing ought to go together. God blesses us, we praise God. God blesses us, we praise God. But listen, when God blesses us, we need to be a blessing to others. Jesus said it's more blessed to give than receive. And I tell you, like Jim Elliot said, he is no fool who gives up in this life what he cannot keep to gain in the next world what he cannot lose. I tell you, we have so much of abundance. The evangelical church, as Southern Baptists, we have an army of missionaries and pastors and 16 million plus members on our roll. If all of us, if each of us would commit to being obedient to the Great Commission in whatever area God's called us to be, can you imagine the impact that the gospel would have to the nations? Can you imagine how God could literally turn this world upside down, or maybe right side up, we should say, with the gospel of Christ even before He yet returns? God's harvest is within the nations. Now, yes, in the millennial period, the earth will be like never before, or like I say, it was once before during the paradise before it was lost when Adam fell. There will be great increases in crop yield, and there will be theocracy, and all those who have been redeemed under the blood will live here for 1,000 years on earth in our glorified bodies with Christ. It's hard to imagine that. That's in the future by and by, but it's true, and it will happen because all the promises of God are yes and amen in Christ. And the only promises that have not been fulfilled in the Word of God are those related to His second coming and eschatology in the end times. So yes, we look forward to that, but hey, here's our pound on the ground right now, not just our pie in the sky then, in the future. Listen, we have the opportunity now. We have the opportunity now to see people groups, tribal folks, nations, societies, have folks saved by the gospel of Christ, and on this cursed earth there'll be an increase of spiritual value as souls begin to worship the true God who created them and who has longed to have communion with them. That can happen in 2011. It can happen in Memphis. It can happen in Africa. It can happen all around the world. But it will only happen if the Lord's way, as verse 2 says, if the gospel goes forth and they hear the gospel. Because faith comes only by what? Hearing. And hearing by the Word of God. I close with another missionary story. There was a man named John Hunt, and he and his wife were called in the 1800s to go minister on the island of Fiji, which is in the South Pacific, and a known area for cannibals. Now, I just want to read this as I close, just so you can see exactly what his journal said, because I don't want to miss any of this. Here's what he says. He said he and his wife shuddered at the sight. This is as they arrived on the Fiji Islands as missionaries. Every village had its human butcher. Aged parents were butchered and eaten by their children. A man would often cook his best wife or most tender child as a feast for the closer friends. You say, that's gross, preacher. Well, that's the point. We're making a point here. Sometime after their arrival, the chief's youngest son was lost at sea. 17 women were killed and roasted as a result. And his wife was forced to watch. That is John Hunt's wife, Hannah. The islanders then insisted that the missionaries leave. But the Hunts refused. They found increasing numbers willing to listen to the gospel. The queen of Viwa, which is the village there, came under such conviction that she fainted twice. Then coming to pleaded for mercy. A revival swept her village, then others. Hunt translated the New Testament in the Fijian and kept preaching fearlessly. Converts increased. Chapels were built. At length, Hunt's health began to break. And when the islanders realized their missionary was dying, they flocked to the chapels to pray for him. "Oh Lord," cried one of them, "we know we are very bad, but spare thy servant. If one must die, take me. Take 10 of us, but spare the servant who has been preaching Christ." But Hunt realized he was dying. He committed his wife to the Lord and began crying, "Lord, bless Fiji. Lord, bless Fiji. Save Fiji." Later, turning to his wife, he said, "If this be dying, praise the Lord. I want strength to praise Him more abundantly." Hallelujah. And with that, he breathed his last. The island was moved by his death. And even the wicked king of the village confessed Christ openly. Much of Fiji was transformed, causing one missionary historian to call Fiji a jewel in the missionary diadem. I want to tell you, this is history. But I'm sure that you can bear witness with me today as we close. I thank God for what He's done as a missionary God in the past. But I yearn today in this 21st century, in this generation, in the generations to come, I yearn for God's great commission to go out like it never has before and bring those from every tribe and tongue and kindred and make them true worshipers of the living God, which only happens through being God wrought, blood bought, spirit sought souls who were made in the image of God. I tell you, God has not changed. We're thankful for what He's done in His great commission for 2,000 years. But may He use our church like never before to have the heart of God for the nations, to have proclaim the hand of God governing the nations, and then to see that within the nations there will be a harvest, God's harvest for the nations. And here's the question. It's not so much why would God send missionaries to preach the gospel to these heathen like the Fijians, but here's the question. Why would God send somebody to preach the gospel to us? For the Bible says, Paul said, this is a trustworthy statement, full of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. And dear soul, the closer we get to Christ, the more we ought to see it's only His mercy and blessing and favor that has created us and saved us, and that we are to be in this world, we are to be a conduit, to give out of His resources, to go out of His strength, and to pray, to intercede that God would literally, through His gospel, proclaim, bring the nations to Himself. Are you willing to sign up for that role? Today I charge you, as a voice in the wilderness, with an opportunity to share with our wonderful church, I charge you, I challenge you, are you willing today to give your heart more to this matter of great commission work? Whatever it is, wherever God leads, are you willing to say, yes, God, I'm available? Every head bowed, every eye closed. No one looking around. Many times when we preach or teach on missions, it sometimes can make us feel uncomfortable. I want you to hear me today. This message should be an encouraging message to anybody that's here in this assembly. First of all, if you're a born-again believer in Christ, hopefully you're experiencing that mercy and blessing again anew in your life, and you're praising God today because He came and found you when you weren't looking for Him. That's something that each of us can say yes and amen to. But listen, if you're outside of Christ today or you're not sure if you're right with God, listen, I want to tell you very simply, God is holy. And He rules and reigns from heaven. And no eye can look at God who has sinned. And we are all disconnected. We're all separated from God, the Bible says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And we all need a missionary God to reach out to us with His saving gospel, to take us out of the horrible pit and the miry clay and to put our feet on the rock of Jesus Christ. So today, if you're asking, I don't know if I really know this missionary God, I want to tell you that He loves you. His heart's upon you today. This psalm was for you. This psalm was for you because His heart is upon you. And you are hearing the way of truth. And listen, the Bible says so clearly, for whosoever calleth upon the name of the Lord Jesus shall be saved. The Bible says so clearly, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, His heart upon the world, that whosoever believes in Jesus should not perish but have everlasting life. Do you want to spend the rest of your life on the greatest mission that's possible in this world? It's a mission impossible without the gospel. But I tell you today, God is able to save you and forgive your sin and give you a new life today. And today, He's calling for you. Are you today willing to say, yes, Lord Jesus, I ask You into my heart. Yes, Lord Jesus, come in and be my Lord today. I yield to You. That's the challenge that I extend to you today as a church, as our church, as the Lord's church. But also there may be someone here today who, during this message, God has been speaking to you about a call to missions. And you say, I don't have a clue, Brother Richard. I don't know what, but you're just like, though, in Isaiah 6, where God said, who will go for us? Today you're saying, I will. You raise your hand in your heart. Today, if God's tugging on your heart and you need prayer here at the altar, or you want to discuss that with the pastor or other ministers here, in just a moment when we have our public invitation time, I'm going to ask you to leave your seat and come for prayer for counsel. I'm going to ask those today that need to confess Christ to come. I'm going to ask those today that are willing to say, Yes, from now on in my life, I commit to being more of a Great Commission Christian. That's the invitation today. The question is today, will you respond? Heavenly Father, we pray in the next few minutes now that your Holy Spirit would convict of sin, righteousness, and judgment. And Lord God, we pray that you will have your way. And Father, that commitments will be made from the heart as people see your heart in the Scripture and the Gospel longing for them today. In Jesus' name, amen.